Well, good morning. We'll be in Galatians, and I haven't decided whether I'm going to go to Hebrews yet or not, so we'll just play it by ear. We'll just see if we get there. And I'm trusting that the Lord's going to pull together the pieces of this sermon. I call it Factors in Living the New Life, and I'll explain that in a moment. But I found a very good Facebook post. I mean, it's hard to find those, right? Sometimes, but I found a very good Facebook post. I thought I'd read it to you because it just sort of reminded me of some things that are on my mind, where the writer says, we live in a naturalistic world of cause and effect. As human beings, we tend to rely on what we perceive and make our decisions or choose our actions accordingly. So when we are confronted by something outside our normal understanding, we as humans tend to have difficulty with that. The extension, the striving that comes with acting beyond our standard decision-making paradigm is called faith, literally a course of action predicated on belief that something unseen, not yet accomplished, will come to be. This is where God steps in. Pretty good post, right? Yeah, I thought it was pretty great. It was written by Chris Surreal. You know, I don't know if you follow him or not, but, you know, he put some good stuff on there. Sounds like my sermon a couple weeks ago. I sort of like that, you know. But no, great post, right? And, you know, talking about the fact that, you know, when we come across things in life that we don't quite understand or people don't understand, you know, that's where faith comes in. That's where understanding comes about. That's where God steps in and makes a difference in our life. He did another post today. I didn't have time to read it, you know, but there's another one on there that he posted today. There's a lot going on in this young man's mind here. I don't know how young is, but in any case, he's younger than me. So yes, great post. Thinking with regard to the Galatians, and we've been in Galatians for a while, obviously, and that would be a post that would be exactly a great message to the Galatians based upon the things that we have been reflecting upon, reminding ourselves here that the Galatians were people like us. They're just people. They're like us. And like us, they were searching for meaning and fulfillment in life. We may not think that that's what's happening with people around us, but there's a desperate search with people around us for meaning and fulfillment in life because they've lost, you know, a foundation that makes my life meaningful. Young people, you know, affected by COVID. I've heard it several places where the tendency to suicide is up, you know, with these young people. I saw a figure this week where 1/4 of our high school kids now identify as something in LGBTQIR, whatever that is. Why would that be? Why is they searching for something? Something's not fulfilled in their life. Something's gotten lost in their life, accelerated by the COVID situation. You know, but we're not unlike the Galatians, people searching for meaning and understanding and purpose in life. So like the Galatians, here you have Paul. He comes along, as I've been trying to preach here, he comes along with a message of life for these people. Same message we possess. It's a message of life. It is a message about the God who is there and who is not silent. I've read the book, and I'm reading it a second time, you know, to remind myself of what I read in college. You know, it's a great book. Very difficult, challenging book, Bob. You got to get it. Have Jennifer buy it for you. The God who is there and he is not silent. You see, because, you know, the major difference that Paul's able to present, you know, to these Galatians is that very fact, that there is a God who is there and he has spoken. If he wouldn't have spoken, we would be in desperation, just like the people around us. We would not know what we know. But when we think about the God who is there and who's spoken, basically we have a God who is not hidden. The Galatians had gods that were hidden. They're searching. They're looking for them, trying to find them. They're not there. They're all a product of their imagination, of their own thinking. But you see, Paul's able to go to these Galatians, and I'm summarizing this book a little bit for us, this letter. I don't know what all he said exactly, but if I'm going to be Paul, and I'm going to say it my way, but Paul's able to go to these people, and he's actually saying, you know, there's a God, and he's there, and this God actually descended. He actually descended. He became flesh, and he dwelt among us. And he dwelt among us as the person of Jesus. So if you're looking for factors in life that make a difference in life, the first major factor that covers all of them is the fact that we do have a God who is there, who has not been silent, who has descended from heaven, made his dwelling among us, and we beheld his glory. Glory as of the only begotten of the Son, full of grace and truth. That is our message. The world doesn't have that message. It's totally lost to them. They don't understand. Now, they hear about Jesus, but it's a word, Jesus, that has no content to it. Do you understand? There's no content. It's whatever the popular understanding might be, and some of that we've caused. If you think about it. But there's a God who's there who has become flesh, and now we have been deposited in a life that is not the normal that is around us. And so we would think that we're the ones that are living in an abnormal life, but actually the fact of the matter is that when we became Christians, we're living in the normal life. Because it was abnormal, the way God, this all started out. Man was created perfect. He was called very good. God was well pleased with his creation. We've been living in the abnormal until we became Christians. Now we live in the normal that people don't understand. But it's a life that is totally different. And I'm just summarizing a bunch of this. You know, it's a world of possibilities. It's a world of wonders. It's a world of communication. It's a world of wisdom. It's a world of understanding that belongs to us. We're the ones that have it. So we've taken this journey through Galatians. I only have today's message and one more on it. And so we've come to the end here. Maybe that's good. Maybe not. I don't know. But today, all I'm trying to do is put together some pieces of what we have been working on. See if I can, and this is where hopefully the Holy Spirit brings it together. Because there's pieces scattered throughout here that we've spoken about that I hope will come together that we can see as factors in our new life that makes us live in something dramatically different. They are factors that are at work under the umbrella, obviously, of the one major factor being God. Factors at work, but God being the big factor. I mean, he makes, but these are other little elements scattered through here that are at work. They were at work to bring us, first of all, to this new life. So in this message, I'll remind you that we've talked about the wonder and beauty of what we possess. I just don't know that sometimes, because, you know, I do go to church when I'm not here. I sometimes think, you know, do we not appreciate, are we not just overtaken by what we possess? It's astounding what belongs to us as people. So we've talked here, you know, that in this letter, just this letter, he talks about right at the beginning, right on the outset, that we were delivered. Use a different word. Sometimes it's in song. We were rescued. We were delivered from this present evil age. Is there anybody in this room that cannot see that we live in a present evil age? I mean, it is just crazy what's happening in the world around us. It's just crazy. Cindy read it there too, that we were living in darkness. Prior to Christ, we were living in darkness. It's a present evil. And he starts this out and says, you know, he's delivered you from that. You are no longer under that. Do we process that? You see, I think we've cheapened the word saved. You know, when people hear the word saved on TV from some of our people that trying to get everybody in the world to believe Jesus and be saved, it's saying a prayer, you know, and there's no content to it. Do you understand what I'm saying? There's no, it's not like speaking to people and say, do you not want to be delivered? And do you not want to be taken, not any longer be subject to this craziness around you that has not worked life in you? God's delivered you from that. Why aren't we speaking to people in deeper terms of what's happened? So he speaks here that you've been delivered from this present evil age, and you have been given freedom. For freedom, he says in chapter 5, Christ set us free. And the problem is there were people who came in trying to steal their freedom. We talked in a couple messages about the wonder of freedom and liberty and why people come to this country, you know, because they're hungry for freedom. We have it as Christians. And we should not let anybody steal it from us. He says that if you live by the Spirit, I didn't say it, Paul said it. He says if you live by the Spirit, you will not carry out the desires of the flesh that Cindy read are so destructive to our life. You will not carry that out. That's freedom. Those that live that way. You'll live in a world of wonders. I'll speak more about that in a moment. But just think about, well, not that this is good anymore. Speaking in the world of Disney, the magical world of Disney. Just think, that's what we live in. Every moment of our life as Christians, we live in a magical world. We live in a world of wonders. We live in a world of possibilities. We live in a world where nothing is impossible. At least that's what I'm taught. That belongs to us as Christians. We live in a world of fresh relationships. That'll be my last sermon. How important is that with all this AI stuff and whatever? Do you think that's going to give people any more meaning in their life? All this artificial intelligence stuff? Look what social media has done to people already. With it not even being elevated to what they're talking about. And how it has separated relationships. We can't be separate from one another. We belong together. You know, having a party at the Surreal House. That's where we belong. You know, food and tables full of stuff, you know, and laughter and fun. Isn't that what we deserve That's a whole lot different than artificial intelligence. I'll talk about that. What I'm trying to say to us is that as Christians, you know, it's a message. He said it was focused in Jesus, that this all came about because it is God who was there, who became flesh, that introduced us to life that is fresh and exciting and meaningful and wonderful. And it's available for everybody. It's available for all. You see, what we possess is not stale. And unfortunately, there's so many people around us that just think our life is stale. I don't know where they got that idea unless we gave it to them. That's where I'm saying we need to understand what we have. It's not stale. It's exciting. It's filled with possibilities. We need to proclaim that kind of message to a world around us that is just, in the biblical term, and it's still a good term today, they're just lost. They're just lost. They don't know where to turn. They have no idea what gives life meaning and substance and purpose that fills it with joy and excitement. They have no idea. And I'm not sure our little 1-minute commercials on TV are going to get that done. I'm sorry. I just don't think it's going to get it done. You see, that's what people see as stale. It saddens my heart. It does. To have to say that. What are the factors at work out of this letter that brought us to the point that we are? Factor number one, faith. He talks about, you know, it's a faith in the claims and the testimony of Jesus. This is a letter centered in Jesus. And there's a faith in Jesus. That's what he presented to them, was this God who came in the person of Jesus. And I mean, any understanding of the gospel is that, you know, he resided in Jerusalem and all the stuff that I've said before, where he was presented to us with signs and wonders and miracles, which God did before the eyes of people as evidence of who he is. That's pretty exciting. He says, you don't have to wonder about it anymore. I'm presenting to you this Jesus who delivers you from sin, but when you put content into sin, sin's a power. That's what it is. It's a power. It's at work in our present evil age. And he delivered you from it. It's no longer a power in you. You've overcome it. I really get aggravated when I listen to WJTL, which is our Christian music station. And if they just play music and shut up, I'd be really pretty happy, you know, with it. You know, but when they are constantly talking about this overcoming sin, I don't know. You don't have to agree with me. I know that all of us sin, but it's not a power in us any longer. It's not. We're a winner. We can win every moment. It is faith that brought us to believe and to accept him. For you are all sons of God through faith. For all of you who have been baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. That's just a flat out statement of that's what you brought you here. I gave you a testimony about Jesus and you believe it. And by faith, you are sons of God, for this is what you did. Pretty simple. It is a faith. There's another factor at work here. And it is the factor of love. where he says in chapter 2, I have been crucified with Christ, and it's no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who, what? Loved me and gave himself for me. Now, if you're going to a dead world like the Galatians or whatever, that's pretty astounding, because we have a God who's interested in us, who loves us, who cares about us, who wants the best for us all the time. Oh, how abundant is your goodness, which you have worked for those who fear you and have stored up for those who take refuge in you. In the sight of, your goodness is working in the sight of the children of mankind. God doesn't want to hold back his goodness from us. He has no desire to do that. That wasn't their gods. You know, the people around us think that we have a God that just wants to make life hard on us. How Satan has just dribbled out that lie over and over and over. It's astounding that he's gotten away with that. But we have a God that's working for us. He loved us. How precious is your steadfast love, O Lord. The children of mankind find refuge under the shadow of your wings. They feast on the abundance of your house. They drink from the river of your delights. For with you is a fountain of life. In your light we see light. Does that sound like a God that wants to withhold from his people? We sang the song here, if God is for us, who can be against us? That was part of one of the songs there. He who did not spare his own son, but gave himself up for us all, will he not also with him, listen, will he not also with him graciously give us all things? We don't have a God that's withholding. Wow, I'm taking as long as other preachers. Have you seen some of The Chosen? I haven't got all of it, but we've seen the first third or whatever that is, and that sort. I think they're doing a good job. And I pick up on little things. And the one little thing that stood out for me was the turning the water into wine. He's there, and his mother Mary is very concerned for this wedding, and it goes on, and the wedding's going on. Jesus looks like he's having a pretty good time. Do you think maybe he's having a good time? I mean, you know, as opposed to maybe being dour or whatever. No, he's at a wedding, he's having a good time and that sort of thing. And the wine's running out and whatever, and his mother Mary's begging him. And so I don't have time, he goes into all that. But the part of that that really grabbed me was not the turning the water into wine, but he's standing over here and, you know, the wine master or whoever the guy was, it would be somebody that runs the weddings today, you know, the wine master, they brought out the best. I've never tasted anything like this. And Mary's over here, and Jesus has a smile on his face. You know, I don't know, remember this thing? He has a smile, and she looks, and she says, thank you, and he smiles and does this. Do you think maybe Jesus enjoyed making that better? I do. I say, wow, that's the kind of God I want. Don't you? In all those other scenes, he's just making life better. Do we understand? He's not making our life harder. He's making it better. I got to move fast. Another element that comes into play in this letter, if you go to chapter 5 real quick, I'm sorry. You go to chapter 5 real quick, verse 4, you are severed from Christ, you who would be justified by the law, for you have fallen away from grace. For through the Spirit, by faith, We ourselves eagerly wait for the hope of righteousness. There's that word hope. That's a factor here. I've talked about hope a lot of times. It's a reality. It's what we've been dropped into. You know, is a hope. Isn't that not what we give people? Isn't that not what we want to set up for people? That there's a hope here, not a wish, but a reality that we call hope. And he says that through the Spirit by faith, you have that hope of righteousness. And then, of course, how is this all working? By the Spirit. By the Spirit. For all of you who have been baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves in Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. That's pretty awesome. All we have to be is receivers of what is true, that there are these factors, faith and love and hope and the Spirit. I mean, they're at the foundation of an incredible life that belongs to us as people. It's all in here, in this letter. All those factors brought us to this place. And every single one of those factors is still at work to bring forth this new life. They all converge on this new life. You see, he said in chapter 5, you know, faith is at work here. In chapter 5, I mean, I know I spent time in this verse 5. Does he who supplies the Spirit to you and works miracles among you do so by the works of the law or by hearing with faith? I have to believe that our faith is at work to continue to do wonderful things that the world would never understand and can't understand unless faith is at work in us. And it's not faith that brought us to Christ. It's faith that continues to be at work, that we continue to exercise so that there is a manifestation of a new life that people would just be astounded by. That our new life brings to substance the hope that we have. We have a hope. It's sure. It's an anchor for our soul. And when we exercise faith, that faith brings that hope to substance. It makes it manifest before the eyes of people. Let me take a moment. Hebrews. Let me try to explain this real quick. Hebrews chapter 1. I think years ago I tried to explain this and nobody could get it. But in Hebrews chapter 1, if I said to you in verse 3, being Jesus, he is the radiance of the glory of God in the exact, I don't know how your Bibles read it, but mine says he is the exact imprint of his nature and he upholds the universe by his word of power. What a terrible translation. It's terrible. Listen. What if I read, he is the radiance of the glory of God and the exact representation of his substance? What would that mean? It means the very same thing. That God became flesh and dwelt among us, and that when you see Jesus, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. You've seen the substance, right? Does that make sense? Now let me take you to chapter 11. Of Hebrews. You know, probably something you have on your wall, you've memorized or whatever. Here's what my Bible reads. Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. It's a terrible translation. It's terrible. But what if I read it this way? Now faith is the substance, it's the same word that's used in chapter 1, same word. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. How does that sound? You see, our faith brings to substance this hope that we have. It brings, just like Jesus brought to substance invisible form God. Does that make sense? It's like, here's God right here. And when we exercise faith, here's hope right here. You can see it all in me. Faith brings about that hope that is visible. And it is faith that he says in Galatians there, a phrase that I bypassed before in verse 6 of chapter 5, for in Christ Jesus neither circumcision nor uncircumcision counts for anything, but only faith working through love. There's love in the picture. You know, we have a faith that brings about a hope, and God's love is so powerful at work in us that we won't give it up, that we'll just do it. You know, his love for us poured out for us, working in us, just helps uphold that faith, which brings about a substance called hope. And he adds in the mix of that his Spirit, which is at work in us, because Christ lives in us. All four of those elements at work right now in our life to bring about a life that becomes visible before the eyes of mankind that says, wow, those people got something. Brings about a life that's not stale, that's not dry, that's not boring. But it's like Jesus walking on the earth and his disciples just living in magic. They're living in magic. They're living in wonder. They're living in, wow, this is life. It's available for us. It's no different. It belongs to us too, not just them. That's what I've been trying to drive home. It's for us. And just how magnificent the church would look. I'm talking about broadly, not us. The church would look if, in my opinion, they had a message that we were carrying out like this. And that not only is it a message of words, but as Paul said to the Corinthians, it is in demonstration of the Spirit and power. That's what God, that word demonstration is a spectacle. God like put us on the stage of life and say, here's the product of my Spirit, and here's people that have power. I don't know why we're not talking about this stuff, because that belongs to us. As people, I got one more sermon. I want to talk about relationships, but may God bless your minds and hearts in Christ Jesus.